Hello and welcome to our programme for August 3rd. I'm Susan Fogle-Masika in Bern. This week, we're crashing parties both in Switzerland and abroad. On August 1st, the Swiss celebrated their National Day. The weather here in the capital was gorgeous until about 10 p.m, when the fireworks had to compete against thunder, lightning and rain. Not so in London, where Swiss Info correspondent Andrew Littlejohn was soaking up a special August 1st celebration against the backdrop of the Olympics. So, Andrew, you've been at the House of Switzerland in London during the Olympic Games, and you were there on Swiss National Day as well. What was the mood?
Oh, it was great. I think everybody had come out on Swiss National Day. It was mobbed right from, I got there just around lunchtime, and it was already packed, and it stayed that way throughout the rest of the day. Now, you say the House of Switzerland, but in fact, the Swiss, they've spilled out onto the surrounding area, and this is down on the Thames. It's beautiful. Part of London. It's right on London Bridge. It's a red zone. So what they've actually done is they've got 2,000 square metres of area for the Swiss, and they've painted it all red.
They've painted the town red then, quite literally.
They have literally painted the town red, exactly. And this is them marking their Swissness in London. And we've got an open-air stage. There's a large screen showing all the major sporting events. There's a climbing wall, which was great for the young, you know, for the children, for the kids. Although I think
you didn't try it?
No, I didn't. But I did see there were some older people, but it was mainly youngsters, teenagers who were getting up there, but having a great time. Loads of food stalls, and then obviously information stands promoting Switzerland as well. And this is, I think this is a great thing about it. You've got celebrities, you've got dignitaries, you've got athletes, you've got the public. They're all sharing this experience. They're all sharing this space. And it is one of the few guest centres which is open to the public in London.
And so did you get to chat with anybody interesting while you were there?
Well, they were not only celebrating Swiss National Day, they're also celebrating the 100th anniversary of the Jungfrau Railway in the Bernese Oberland. So I spoke with Catherine Fonatal. She's the project coordinator for Presence of the Canton of Bern, and they've organized a very hands-on interactive experience for visitors wanting to learn about the Bernese Oberland.
So first week, even before the Olympics started, we had a wood carving and a paper cutter here. We will have Cambly biscuit making and also Emmentaler cheese. And after that, we will have pyrography, like carving into wood, but with a hot stick.
And what sort of reaction have you had so far?
Really good reactions, actually. Often their first comment is, oh, I've been here and there, and then you kind of join in, and then you try and show them something new where they haven't been yet. It's like going home again a little bit, or going on holiday again while they're here.
And what about food? Do you get some nice things to eat?
Well, food features really strongly. Swiss gastronomy is really one of the highlights of this whole experience. And you've got the prestigious Swiss catering family, the Mosemans. They're providing the hospitality. They already did the Olympics in China. They did the Winter Olympics in Vancouver as well. So they're really skilled at providing food for the public and for the representatives. So we had there was a traditional pub that dates back to Victorian times. But what they've actually done, they've transformed it into a rustic Bernese chalet serving traditional Swiss comfort food. And then there's also grab-and-go rosticceria with bratwurst rösti, and there's also Appenzeller beer. So I caught up with the Swiss star chef Anton Mosemann, who was welcoming guests at Le Chalet.
The food has been exceptionally well received. The cheese dishes, of course, the fondue, the raclette, the bratwurst, rösti, fantastic. You can see it's packed, people love it.
And have you got a favourite dish yourself?
You know, I love a good rösti, I love a good bratwurst, I love a cheese fondue, so yes, I will not be hungry, end of the day.
And up to now, the Swiss results have been rather mixed. How are people reacting to that?
Well, I mean, everybody is getting into the party spirit, and the mood has been incredibly upbeat. I mean, everybody just seems to be enjoying the music. There have been bands. Obviously, there have been the traditional sounds, the Alp horn, and then the folklore music. But there's also been bands like Geneva's Mama Rose, and they kicked up a storm with their Cajun sounds. But when you do ask about, you know, how they feel Switzerland is doing with the sporting events, I've had some people who just refused to talk to me, and others who were... Well, maybe you can listen for yourself. I went out and asked some of the revelers what they thought of their Swiss compatriots' sporting achievements.
Oh, they're not very, very good, but we are a little country, so what do you want? We have good athletes, I think, but there is always luck in in it as well.
And what were you expecting in the way of medals before you came to London 2012?
We are not always expecting very much. We think when there are three or four medals, then it's okay. Doesn't matter. Roger will do it.
There's always Roger, isn't there?
It is Roger.
Okay. I just wanted to know how you feel Switzerland has been performing over the past week.
You answered that. No, I mean, it was a good performance the other day in cycling. We enjoyed to watch it a bit, you know.
I was very disappointed about Cancellara.
Cancellara, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, I thought he could win, but I know he was injured on the back. Cancellara is our best cyclist we have. So we had many hopes for him.
That was Andrew Littlejohn reporting from London on August 3rd. Back in Switzerland, Locarno was the scene of another big party on August 1st, the kickoff of the 65th International Film Festival. At the opening ceremony, English actress Charlotte Rampling received an Excellence Award for her life's work. At a forum later, she told festival-goers about her role in the movie Night Porter.
And I wanted to talk about real things. I didn't want to make believe, and I didn't want to necessarily be entertaining. And so Night Porter was... Well, with Visconti's film, I realized that this was the kind of cinema that I wanted to do, a very, very seriously engaged form of transmitting stories.
And speaking of serious cinema, the film Lore made its international debut on Locarno's Piazza Grande on August 2nd. It's the story of a teenage girl who has to take care of her siblings after the collapse of Nazi Germany. SwissInfo had the chance to speak with filmmaker Kate Shortland and ask her how it was that an Australian took on this German story.
I think Australia is very diverse. The part of Sydney I live in is 60% non-English speaking background. My husband's family emigrated or escaped Germany in 1936. I studied fascism at uni. My major was history. My father left school at 14, but his main fascination is military history. So it sounds like, because we live in this Pacific oasis, that we would have no understanding of fascism or what it means. But in a way, I think it's an international question, because I've also lived in South Africa post-apartheid. Australia has its own colonial atrocities. So the question of what it means to be a perpetrator is not just a German question.
Shortland says it's more of a psychological than a historical film.
What interested me was that it wasn't looking at it from such a historical perspective, but from a 14 or 15-year-old girl's perspective who... Her parents joined the party in 1933, so she had no understanding of a world without National Socialism. So for me, that was interesting. We could have been making a film about a cult in the 1980s in America. For me, it was the psychology of the character, realising that the whole structure of her society was false, it dehumanised. She had no empathy. That was what interested me. But also, of course, it's about the Holocaust. And I think now people are very interested in also the perpetrators. To understand history, you have to look at it from both sides.
The Locarno Film Festival runs through August 11th. The Menuhin Festival is one of Switzerland's most important classical music events. But when it started in the mountain resort of Gstaad in 1957, there were just a few hundred visitors. These days, about 20,000 tickets are sold over the course of the seven-week festival. Kirsten Sonnekalb, the PR manager of Gstaad Sonnenland Tourism, says it's big business for the region.
The Menuhin Festival is very important to us. It's the most exciting top event we have in the cultural area. We calculate we have about an added value of 9 million Swiss francs per year. So there is a big benefit for the destination.
Held mainly in churches and in a large tent, the festival attracts major acts, and many come back repeatedly. The London Symphony Orchestra, for example, is now making its second appearance. Hans-Uli Chantz, head of media relations for the festival, thinks it's a treat for the musicians.
The artists, they love to come to Gstaad. For them it's summer, for them it's relaxing, and we are also doing a lot for to care for the musicians and to take them to the glacier or to take them to the mountains. And I think it's one of the reasons that the musicians like to stay here.
The festival runs through September 8th. Visit us at swissinfo.ch on August 5th for a special on classical music festivals, including a video about the history and the future of the Menuhin Festival. And in Avenches, rock fans are currently enjoying the 20th annual Rock aux Oreilles Festival in an old Roman amphitheater. The program includes this gentleman from Detroit, Alice Cooper, whose 1972 hit School's Out is still a favorite for many, myself included. And that's all we have time for this week. Thanks for listening. Visit us at swissinfo.ch for more on these and other stories. I'm Susan Fogel-Masika.